Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I don't like my look when I wear these glasses, but I don't know what else to do. I can't see all the screen if I don't have my glasses on. And if you're watching right now, you gotta admit there's something new about our look, isn't it, huh? Did you notice it? Got a new hat. Got a new hat that we're making available to you today. There's a long story about why we're not changing from the old one. We're not changing from the old blue one. We still have that. But I have a reason why I got some red ones. So, oh, by the way, also, have a new camo, new style camo, just hot off the press, man. Hot off the press. And dumb guy like me, I never figured out that there are different kinds of camos. And I would go someplace and somebody would say, hey, that's different than my camo. And I don't even notice that stuff. But my wife gave this one a high approval yesterday. It's available. So listen, I want you guys to be able to get them hot off the press. You guys know that we don't do fundraising and we don't sell stuff here to try to make money. But anybody who sends us a $20 donation, I'm going to send you a free hat out. Now, when you go online at CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com, and there's a little link over there to donate. You click on that thing. You got to tell me what color you want. Say, I want the red one or I want the camo. $20. Great deal. It's just our appreciation for you supporting what we do. I do thank you. You know, I saw John Roberts. Somebody told me yesterday that only, I guess it was Steve Minking. I was talking with Steve on his show yesterday. It was a fascinating statistic that only 3% of people who watch a show, like the Hagman and Hagmans, only 3% of people who listen to the audience ever donate at all. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Only 3%. And our donations are up a little bit. We appreciate it. So listen, if you gave a hat, if you gave $20 last month and said, doggone it, I didn't get a hat. Well, email me. Say, Coach, I gave and I didn't get a hat. We're not trying to shortchange anybody here. Red, brown, or camo, whichever one you want. Okay? Boy, what a time to be alive. I know I say that every time when we come on. I'm excited to be here today. I get pumped up when I came down here this morning. I was a little bit late coming down upstairs and just getting things ready for the show. And I looked up and there was already 16 people that were in the queue. So I'm looking forward to the day. Maybe the day will be the day as we come up on nearing the last day of June. Maybe we can get 30 folks in here on the queue. Now, it doesn't matter because our numbers are showing that our audiences are growing and there's a lot of people out there that are watching. So you don't have to, you know, you don't have to log on the show to be part of it, but it's good for my ego, I guess. I'd love to see 30 people. Just go to Coach Dave Live, click on Join the Huddle. It's right there on your right-hand side. Next thing, man, you're in the queue, and you can be part of the give and take and the question and answers. And love for you to be able to join us today. Just heard from Robert. Robert is on his way to the doctor. Says he loves everybody. My favorite nose guard. And hey, listen, hey, Rich, if you're listening out there, I spoke to Rich yesterday. Big Rich, he's been a stalwart on the show. Big Rich is building him a house. He told me he's working 7 days a week, long hours. I finally got to talk to him a little bit. He's not mad at us. He hasn't quit. He listens and just says, hey to everybody. Now, I got a plan how we're going to help Rich out. I'm going to try to unveil that to us all later on. Guys, what is it? The intro to my song says the world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. It's blown up right in front of us, man. The world is blowing up right in front of us. And we have to remember this. The scriptures tell us that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Now, I get in discussion with people all the time who love to focus on end time prophecy and all the end time stuff. And, you know, it's interesting to me, I'll be honest with you, but I live in the here and now. And people who talk about the rapture and like to focus on the rapture, I say, listen, my rapture could come tomorrow. I could run into a tree. I could drop over. I could get some type of diagnosis. The rapture doesn't really have much of an impact on my life. I'm just telling you, neither here nor there. It doesn't have any, because I live here and now. The scriptures tell us that I'm supposed to occupy until he returns, whatever that means. And I'm finding more and more people who are, how do I say this? I'm riding a wave. I don't know if you guys are picking up on that or not. I'm on a wave, and you'd have to admit, well, unless you were right wing watch, you'd have to admit that this show, this group of guys, said we're really hitting something, man. We are really, I think, on the cutting edge of something that God is doing in the church. We're on the cutting edge. There's a lot of others. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of voices out there that are aware of what's going on. But I got a video I'm going to show you here of R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur talking about, you're not going to believe it, that God doesn't love everybody. I about fell out of my chair when I saw it. We are on the cutting edge. And if you remember, again, not patting myself on the back, just trying to do a little bit of memory here. About this time last year, I started to lose some friends on Facebook because I said I came out publicly for Donald Trump. And I said, listen, the last thing we need is a pastor in the White House. The last thing we need. There was something about Ted Cruz. I thought Ted Cruz would probably be a good president, but I said something not right there. Something not right. We need a butt kicker. We need a bouncer. We need somebody that's going to upset the apple cart in the White House. And look at what's going on. You know, here's kind of where I'm heading today. You guys know this, don't you? CNN's done. As we know it, CNN is done. Now, in fact, this is an exciting time, guys, to be alive, because truth be told, the mainstream media is done. I really think that the only people who are watching mainstream media are people who don't have time to think for themselves. And so the information, as I'm going to show you here, that we're picking up off the mainstream media is all fake news. It's all fake. Fake in this aspect of it. You have eyewitnesses at a crime. You talk to those eyewitnesses, they may have all seen something different. And your political slant or your political perspective or your religious beliefs cloud everything that you do. I tend to come down on, I hate the word, I tend to come down on the conservative side. I'm not a conservative. But see, that's the box that they put me in. And you know what I did that really changed my life? And I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again today. I have not watched Fox News in, it's got to be a year. You know, they call it fair and balance and what the spin stops here, Bill O'Reilly said, and fair and balanced. And it's all propaganda. It's all propaganda. And I cannot believe, as I just sit back now and I go into the internet. No, I don't believe everything on Facebook. And no, I don't believe everything I see on the internet. But I'm going to tell you something. When you go on the internet and you do some research, you get a balanced perspective of exactly what's going on. And it's been amazing to me to watch Donald Trump talk about fake news. Remember when he started talking about fake news? That was probably 6-7 months ago. And how hard he went after the press. And the first time in my life, I saw somebody push back against the press. See, always before, the media was able to control and destroy whoever they wanted. And they have thrown everything they have at him, and they have not been able to destroy him. In fact, the more that people attack him, the more people like him. Because we're waking up to the fact that much of what we see is controlled media, controlled education, everything being presented to us from a certain perspective. And I'm going to tell you this one, too. This is why this show is growing. You know why it's growing? Because it's controlled big Christianity as well. You go to your local Christian radio station and you click on everyone, Salem, bot radio, I don't care what it is. And they have the most brain dead, self-focused teaching that you would ever want to hear. They don't talk about anything that's going on. The only guy that I think is doing is maybe Jim Baker. You remember Jim Baker from the PTL days? Jim Baker has a pretty hard-hitting show. He'll put on Steve Quayle. He'll put on Russ Dizdar. He'll put on Ray Gano. He'll put on these people that the average... Christmas scriptures tell us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People are destroyed because they just don't know. And I don't want to continue to reiterate it, but here's the point. So much of what we've been taught is not true. Or better say it this, not the whole truth. Remember when you go into the courtroom and say, I swear to tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And we've been programmed to believe that those news readers sitting on our television set are telling us the truth. And far from it, baby. Far from it. They are not telling us the truth. So the mainstream media, America as we know it, if they permit the internet to stay intact, America as we know it is about to change because the media grip on America, it's over, man. It's over. One of the problems that they've been having, the media has, is they're trying to find that Walter Cronkite voice. And that's the way it is. June 29th, 2017. And they can't find that voice. And so they've gone from people who have, as they said during Dick Cheney's reign, gravitas. They've gone from news anchors like that. They've gone to puffy guys. They've gone to Anderson Cooper. And they've gone to Wolf Blitzer. Who went and names their kid Wolf, by the way? Wolf Blitzer. And Poppy. What's that girl's name? Poppy something there on fake. See, they're trying. They are. We finally know now it's about entertainment and it's about control. And those of us who carry the name of Christ, we've got to have our eyes open that we would see and we would understand. We Christians must be the most intelligent, most discerning people on our block. And when we're not doing that, then lies rule the day. Chad just said, when the propaganda ends, the genocide begins. That's right. That's right. So we're at war. We're at war. And the sooner we recognize that, the better we're all going to be. I'm in Mark 8. Let's pull this up. Let's do a little bit of a Bible. It's not even a Bible study. This is amazing. My Bible was just open to this. Okay. It was just open to Mark because it's lays here in front of me. So I said, well, Lord, there must be something there on Mark 8. That just happened that quick. You missed it. I looked down at my Bible. I said, there must be something in Mark 8 that we're supposed to read today. So I want to go there. That's a little bit of a Bible lesson. Guys, those of you listening, George has got a friend, Bruce, who's watching for the first time today. I said, listen, you're going to need some scissors to cut off the hair on your chest when we get done. This ain't fool around. This ain't patty cake Christianity, okay? This show ain't patty cake. I want to give you fair warning. If you don't have the courage to watch it, if these things make you uncomfortable, then, hey, go watch Joel Osteen. Go watch somebody else. It doesn't matter to me. But I'm going to continue to give you hard-hitting truth to try to train you and equip you and understand that we are at war. Some of you still don't get it. I can tell you this. Your pastor doesn't get it. Your pastor told you the war is against your finances and against your health. Like the God of the universe came and died on a cross just so you could be healthy. Now, I believe in healing. I believe in divine healing. I believe in divine intervention in people's lives. But to think that he's sitting up there right now and he's focused totally on you and me, that I'm happy. What is that all about? But that's what's being perpetrated in our churches. That's why we have men who go to church who have lost their zeal for truth. Why they've been so easy to be deceived. That's what we're pushing back against. And I want to throw this in right now. I want to tip my hat to Sarge, because Sarge doesn't get much love. Sarge is doing a great job of organizing the Salt and Light Brigade. And we'd love to come to your town. And here's what I would ask you to do. If you want us to come, you want to raise up a group of men in your town going to make a difference, invite us. Now, here's truth. Pastor won't do it. Probably won't get a pastor involved with it. But if you could find five guys, say, listen, you say to them, each of you find five guys. We'll come for 20 guys. And we will awaken the spirit of Christ in your heart and in your area. I don't care where it is. We'll come. A lot of times folks see a guy like me, it's behind the camera, and they think, man, he must be important. Man, oh man, Coach Dave must be important. Well, I'm not important. I'm playing my role, doing my job. And you don't have to raise a bunch of money for me to come. So I wonder what it costs for him to come here. I bet it costs all kinds of. No, it doesn't. If you help pay for our expenses, we'll come. He said, what are your expenses? Well, I'll drive if it's close. I'll fly if it's not close. And get an investment of, you know, $300, something like to get us there. We're anxious to do that. So let us know. Sorry if I threw that in there. I'm in Matthew 8, and I don't even know why I'm in Matthew 8. But let's go there. I have this underlined in my Bible. Hey, that's another good hint, guys. I'm going to give you something right now that's going to revolutionize your Bible study. Anytime you read a scripture that speaks to your heart, immediately underline it. I'm just telling you, that's the greatest Bible study advice I can ever give you.
Amen.
Because there's nothing worse. Thanks, Serge. There's nothing worse Then after 2 days, 3 days later, you think, oh, golly, where was that? Esther, where was that? And if you'd have just underlined it in your Bible, Esther would yell down, well, George, I think that was in Thessalonians. And so you flip to Thessalonians, boom, there it is. It's underlined. Underlined. Folks, it will help. I'm telling you, it'll help your spiritual growth. Okay. If I don't want to move my microphone here. I can hold up my Bible. My Bible's just looks like the rainbow. We've got to reclaim the rainbow, by the way. So I look down here and verse 34, Jared, 8:34. It's underlined. I don't know what it is, but I believe under the unction of the Holy Spirit, this is what he wants me to share with us today. Here we go. Verse 34. Oh, man. Let's go to 32. Jared, let's go back up a little. Oh, remember another, what's another Bible lesson I taught you that we've talked about? I hate to say when I taught you, it makes me sound smart. What's another thing I told you? Always read before and after a scripture. Always. Context is everything. You can't just pull a scripture out of anywhere and have it apply to what it is that you want. Always read before and after. So I said 34, and the Holy Spirit just checked me. He says, now read before and afterwards. Okay? Jared, let's go up one more verse here. 29. Let's see what it says. I don't even know what it says. But the Holy Spirit tells me we ought to go there. Okay. Wow. 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. This is a parallel version to Matthew 16:13. I just realized this. He went to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? Boom! Boom! Answer that question, and you'll understand what's going on in America. Boom! And they answered, John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, okay, dude, who do you say I am? There's the greatest question in Christianity. You answer that question, you will serve the God that you see. You answer that question right there, who do you say that he is? And that will form your entire Christian life. If you think he's just a healer, then that's okay. That's the Jesus you're going to see. If you think he's just a deliverer, okay, that's the Jesus that you're going to serve. Okay? You serve the God you see. And he says to them, who are they? And Peter says, well, you are to Christ. And Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Verse 30, don't tell anybody. And he spake that openly, saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Look at that. Peter begins to rebuke the Lord. Wow, that's bold, isn't it? We see that a lot out on the streets. Everybody wants to tell us what Jesus really meant. I'm sorry. Lost my place. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed after 3 days, rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter said, no, that's not going to happen, Lord. And when he called, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, listen, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Anybody know what's the purpose of a cross? Does anybody know? By the way, boys, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. He's foreshadowing what's going to happen to him. And he's telling you, hey, dudes, it's going to happen to you too. You're going to follow me. You're going to go through the same stuff I'm going to go through. And he began to rebuke him, and he looked around. I missed a verse. I'm sorry. But when he had, verse 33, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Man-pleasing, boys, that's our biggest challenge. So when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Do we believe that? This is Roger. This is Mark 8:34. 8:34 is where we are right now. Mark 8:34. I'm going to read that again. When you try to protect your life and your reputation, you're going to lose it. But whosoever shall quit worrying about his reputation and what people think about him, he's going to save it. If you do that for his sake and for the gospel's, you're going to save your life. For what shall it profit a man if he gains all the worldly attention and all the approval of man and all the world's wealth? He gains all that stuff and loses his own soul. You mean to tell me? Let me read that again. You mean if you don't deny yourself, you're in danger of losing your soul? Huh? Wide? Narrow? Many? Few? I'm going to tell you right now, in America, the many are silent, and the few are under the gun. Say it again. The many are silent, and the few are taking all the heat. And what did the Lord say? Good job, man. Good job. Because why? You picked up your cross, and you jumped on that cross every day, and you died to yourself, and you went out on behalf of the Lord, and you said the hard things that nobody's going to say. Because your friends are going to hate you, your family's going to hate you, the town's going to hate you, the press is going to hate you, the media is going to hate you. Everybody's going to hate you. Why? They hated him first. If we represent him. And it's love, 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 love gospel. So I saw, I'm not going to say who it is because I respect the guy. I saw a Christian leader yesterday. He went on Facebook and said how disappointed Donald Trump was in his tweeting because he was not very representative of Christ. Do they read the Bible? Do they read the Bible and see how Christ answered his opponents? We've been all through this. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. I want to win. I want to win for Christ's sake. I'm about done here. Hang on.
We're going to win.
We're going to win. We're going to win. Hey, Vince, they'll say we've already won. No, we haven't. We haven't won yet. We're going to win. We're going to win. We ain't won yet. Quit lying to yourself. Okay. And so he says, okay, so what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Does it seem possible then that man is the one that's in control of his own soul? Jesus saved you, but what you going to do with that salvation? That's up to you. And your salvation is at risk. I'm not trying to put words in Mark's mouth here or in the Lord's mouth. I'm certainly not rebuking Jesus or rebuking Mark. But he says here, your soul's in danger. He's speaking to the disciples. Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words, when, right now, in this adulterous and sinful generation, anybody that's ashamed of me right here, right now, with CNN and MSNBC and MTV and all the debauchery, if you're ashamed of me now, dude, and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. And when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Hey, fellas, I'm going to tell you something. You're cowering in the corner. That ought to scare you. Somebody jump in here and save me before. If you think I'm crazy, tell me. People say, I'm not going to listen. Nobody ever. Everybody just agrees with them. They're just all psychophants. Just cults. Hey, Vince, anybody read that differently than me? He's speaking to his believers. He's speaking to Peter. And he's telling all these saved guys, if you deny me, you ain't getting in. You're going to lose your soul.
Powerful words hit you right in the gut.
It's right there, baby. You can deny it if you want to. But it's right there.
Stop reading that Bible.
And reading that Bible gets us all in trouble, doesn't it, Roger? Reading the wrong Bible. Or how about this one, Vince? This is more likely. Only reading the Bible that the 10-foot icicle shares with you on Sunday. That's it. See? Huh. John, I can go into this Bible and preach a feel good message. I can do that. That's easy, man. I can do that. I know all the scriptures. I can put them all together, pull them out of context, and put them together and make you think that you're the greatest thing that ever walked down the road. I can do that. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Go ahead, Raj.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, whenever I hear, and you don't hear it quite as much, at least in my circles, maybe I'm hanging out with too many heathens, but, you know, we win in the end. You know, we win in the end. Take heart, you know, we win in the end. My response to that anymore is, well, between now and the end, chaos and havoc is going to reign if we do not step in and lead forward to honor Christ. That, yeah, we may win in the end. Yes, the cross is there. And all hell's breaking loose. And as all hell is breaking loose, people are going to be cast into hell. You know, it's that simple. So, yeah, I think we win in the end. But hell's breaking loose here.
Hey, Raj, who's we? Who's we?
Individual, yes.
Yeah, who's we? Better ask that question. You got a monkey sitting on your lap? What do you mean we win in the end? No, he wins in the end. He wins.
Oh,
we don't win. Yeah, we get to sit in this. See, some of you hope to sit in the stands your whole life, and when he wins, you get to cheer and be part of it. I'm not so sure. I'm sorry. See, we have made works dirty. We have made works prideful. When, in fact, on our football teams, I loved it when the linebacker blitzed and blindsided the quarterback and caused a fumble. I loved his works. Do you understand? And so we are in a world where if you are on the team and you are committed to the cause, you will have works. If you don't have works, you ain't on the team. Well, you're in the stands. You may be wearing a uniform. I got a shot. I could go round and round and round. I got a million things to say here.
You know, we win in the end thing that Roger was talking about, when you read what the Bible says, in order for that end to come about, whole bunches and bunches and bunches of us have to be killed for the cause.
Amen. Amen. I know, man. I know, Larry. And we're not hearing that. You know why? Because we're waiting on the evacuation. We're waiting on that elevator to the top, see? And I remember hearing a guy in Columbus radio say, somebody called in and said, can you believe that people don't believe in the rapture and blah, 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 blah. And I remember this radio pastor saying, well, here's all I know. I'll be waving to them on the way up. But that's a hell of an attitude.
Wow. Hey, Coach.
That's a hell of an attitude. Yeah. Yeah.
I think sports was created for really only one specific thing, and that is, in order to win, you have to be on the playing field.
you can't do it living by through somebody else, can you? I always use the illustration, man, that Ohio State Buckeyes are big here. It's the number one religion in Ohio. And after Ohio State victory, man, everybody's happy and dancing in the street. We won! We won! You think Urban Meyer, the coach, thinks those fans won? I mean, he talks about Buckeye Nation, and does he really think we won? Now, wait a minute. And isn't it amazing that when Ohio State loses, Urban Meyer lost? That Buckeyes lost. We didn't lose. Buckeyes lost. That's what's going on in the church, see? That's a great microcosm of what's going on in the church. And as a good coach, you always learn this, that when you lose, you say, I lost. I messed up. And when you win, you say, hey, we did a great job. We won. When the players did, you watch all great coaches. That's what they do. When they lose, they take responsibility. When they win, they say, oh, I didn't do anything. It's just the boys. They just played so hard. That's great leadership skills. See, Jesus is doing that same thing to us. He's doing the exact same thing. And we say, yeah, well, we're going to win in the end. And he's just tapping his foot and smiling. Say, yeah, we are. That's right. We are. Yeah, we are. Right? I mean, come on, man. Come on. I really want to win. Hey, I got some good little news clips here I want to show you today. Jared, let's go. Hey, look, come here real quick. My 6-year-old She spent the night with us last night. This is Reese, who's growing up right before. I don't know why I don't get you on my screen there, Reese. There we are. Wave to him, Reese.
Good morning.
Okay, you got me? Okay, so here we go. Jared, bring up the one that says drug mommy. It's the very first one. Guys, the world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. Pass the salt. That's what I'm saying. Look at this, guys. Pennsylvania mom charged after overdosing on heroin while pregnant. Somebody, just stay with me now. See if anybody sees the irony in this other than me. A troubled Pennsylvania woman was charged Thursday with aggravated assault on an unborn child after she allegedly overdosed on heroin while 7 months pregnant. Casey Rose Disham survived her brush with death, and her daughter was delivered via an emergency C-section, according to an arrest affidavit. But the baby is on life support and not expected to make it. Lieutenant Eric Hermrick of the Pennsylvania State Police told reporters, "We have an infant that's probably not going to survive." Dishman, who's 30 and lives in Butler, overdosed about a week ago after she was released from Butler County Prison, where she'd been serving a six-month sentence for shoplifting, a prison official said. She's been jailed here 10 times since 2006. Most of it's retail theft stemming from drug use, a couple burglaries, possession charges. So Dishman was found passed out in the bathroom of her apartment around 3 a.m. on June 23rd by a 36-year-old live-in boyfriend. Hey, natural family there, JR. Huh? Our problems are so easy to solve if we just bring the gospel into it. Unable to revive her, paramedics rushed Disham to Butler Memorial Hospital, where she went to cardiac arrest and emergency room, the affidavit states. When she finally was able to talk, Disham stated she'd found a stamped bag of heroin and under her couch and injected it, yada, yada, yada. Okay, does anybody see any irony here?
Yeah, it's okay to kill him by going to an abortion clinic.
Yeah, that unborn baby was person enough to cause charges against the mother, but it's not person enough to charge murder charges when that same mother would take her down to Planned Parenthood and get that baby ripped into pieces and ripped out of her body.
Bingo.
Larry, with a straight face, how can they charge her? See, you know why they're mad? Because she didn't pay him $800 to do it. Right. She just did it on her own. And if it's her baby and her choice, does it really matter how you kill him? Do you see how screwed up we are? And most people don't know that. Most people read this and say, oh, that's too bad. She shouldn't overdose and kill a baby. Shouldn't smoke and kill a baby. No alcohol when you're pregnant. You don't want to have alcohol and might harm the baby, but inject it with drugs and kill it. Doctor says it. Aren't we messed up, Reese? We're really messed up.
Hey, Coach, they're using the wrong pronouns. They should call it a fetus or nouns or whatever. It's a fetus, not a child. It's a fetus, not a baby.
Jared, the media got tripped up there, see? They got tripped up and they let some truth come out. Yep. Why? See, they want it to be a baby when drugs or somebody does something wrong to it. They want it to be a baby then. But their sacrament is abortion, so they don't want it to be a baby when it's an abortion. With me, isn't that unbelievable?
Disgusting.
Unbelievable. It's disgusting. Let me show you another one. Jared, pull this one up there for us. Here's your teachers. Jared, go down. It says magazine cover. I want you to see the latest magazine cover of the some teachers association. Okay, this is their teachers union. I'm not sure which one it is. I didn't look at it this closely. This popped into my eye today too. Put it up there, Jared, or have you already? For some reason, there it is. The American Educator, a quarterly journal of educational research and ideas. It says Hope in Dark Times. Will you, Jared, make that picture bigger, better if you can? These are America's educators, and look at the signs they're holding. Black Lives Matter. We must love and protect each other. We will not be silent. Labor must take the lead now. To America's number one Russian president, where's your birth certificate? Look at these people. Look at the one right in the middle with that. These are teaching your kids. You know what happened to us? I'm going to tell you exactly what. I'm going to connect the dot for you. Back in the Vietnam era, which I was one, during the Vietnam era, you guys will remember this when the draft was in effect. One of the deferments that you got was if you were a teacher. You didn't have to get drafted if you were a teacher. You guys remember that? Anybody remember that? And so what happened? All these communist draft dodgers ran into the education field, and they have been there ever since. And look at that. Just look at that. Those are the people teaching and influencing our children. I'm going to pull that down. Anybody got a comment on that thing? Scary, isn't it? So, Jared, while we're on it, let's go. Jared, pull up that one that says Communist Manifesto.
About our party again.
Because I hear regularly from email people who say, who haven't been, maybe been following the show for quite a while, and they'll say, Coach, you know this is the communist agenda. Coach, you know this is all planned out. Well, of course we know it, and we've covered it in the past, but we pick up new listeners every day. So let's go to this link that Jared's got up on the screen for us. It's the Communist Manifesto, the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. Folks, those people you just saw, they're supporting this. And I'm not going to read all of that. Let's just read the first plank and see if these guys have been successful in doing what they wanted to do. First plank, the abolition of property and land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. In other words, the elimination of private property. Goal number one, Communist Manifesto. Number two, a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. Says the 16th Amendment, allegedly ratified in 1913, the Revenue Act of 1913, Section 2, Income Tax. These laws have been purposely misapplied against American citizens to... And you have to decide what hill you're going to die on. You understand? And to me, I'm not going to die on the income tax hill, but there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt that the income tax is not constitutional. Jared, I lost it on my screen. I just see your face for whatever reason there. No, it's okay. I'll pull it up here on my. Have I missed something? No, are you still alive there, Jared? I think you are. I'll pull it up here on the other side. Where is it? Okay, Jared's having some internet. That's okay. I'll pull it up on my screen, and I'll continue to read it to you off of my screen, okay? So you just heard the first one, the second one. Here's the third one. Abolition of all rights of inheritance. Huh? You heard an inheritance tax? In other words, they want it to be when you die, all of your stuff goes to the government. They want to do that. Number four, confiscation of all property of all immigrants and rebels. Fifth plank. You ready? Centralization of all credit in the hands of the state. You say Federal Reserve? No, I'm talking to them. Sixth plank. You ready? Centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state. In other words, a state media. See, Trump's exposing that right now. Fake news. It's government control. Remember when we used to laugh when we were kids about Pravda? Now those poor Russians, they were just being brainwashed. No, but they weren't getting the truth. Those poor, if they could come over here in America where they have a free press, my goodness, they wouldn't think the crazy things that they think. And yet we find out that more Russians today are Christians than Americans are Christian. Didn't know that one, did you? Seventh one. How about this one? Extension of factories and instruments of production to be owned by the state. They wanted to take over all industry and be in control of everything. Communist Manifesto plank. How are they doing on that one? How about the monopolies? Can you believe monopolies? Can you believe Google and Facebook? Facebook owns America. It owns America. Amazon's about to. Amazon's closing down Sears and Penny's and Kmart. Amazon, Radio Shack. Amazon's closing them down. How can you have that kind of monopoly and do that? Well, that's what they want, isn't it? Number, I'm reading these, Reese. Number eight. Reese's head's in my way. Equal liability of all to labor. Establishment of industrialized armies, especially for agriculture. They take over the unions. Oh, my goodness. Eighth plank. No, I'm sorry, ninth plank. Combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country over the country. Wow, huh? They want to do away with country. They want to move everybody into the cities, stack them up on top of each other, get them poor, get them on welfare, and then they will control. Hey, Jared's back up. Then they'll control the food. They'll control everything. Hey, guys, that's what Amazon's about. Amazon's going to soon start delivering your groceries to you. They're going to get Americans hooked on not even having to go to Kroger's or go to the grocery store anymore. And after they get them hooked on that, what are they going to do? Well, now they control you because they control the food distribution coming to you. Wake up, boys and girls. And then the 10th plank, here you go. Ready? A free education for all children in public schools. Abolition of children's factory labor in its present form and the combination of education with industrial production. Common Core, free education, mind numb robots. That's what we're dealing with, see? And so Trump has broken through on this, in this monopoly. And if we were to go back to that picture, which you don't have to, Jared, they hate, right there in the middle, they hate Betsy DeVos. They hate her. Why? Because she's for school choice. Guys, can you think of anything? America's pro-choice, aren't they? Isn't the left pro-choice? But they're not pro-choice on education? That you have to go to school in the town that you live in? Yeah. Yeah, Roger.
It can't be about education.
No, it can't be about education.
It can't be. Look at in California, it came out a couple weeks ago, that 75% of the black student population in high school cannot pass tests. It can't be about education, what they want.
It's not.
In their right mind, nobody in their right mind would tell you what they've been doing the last 30 years has been working. So it's
oh, absolutely not.
Education.
And the churches support it, right? The churches support this.
Yeah.
Now, look, I want to show you something. Reese, are you ready? I'm going to put you on the spot. Here's my six-year-old granddaughter. She goes to a thing called Classical Conversations. Reese, listen now, guys. I'm going to put it on her. Reese, give them the seven wonders of the world.
The seven wonders of the ancient world.
Speak up a little bit, eh?
The seven wonders of the ancient world are the Statue of Zeus, the Mausoleum, the Ferris of, well.
That's okay. Are you forgetting it a little bit? Because
yeah.
You haven't done it in a while. Tell us, give us a little brief history. Can you do that? One of the things that you've learned?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I know about the Battle of Waterloo.
Tell about the Battle of Waterloo, BC.
Napoleon Bonaparte of the French Empire was defeated at the Battle of Waterloo by British General Wellington. Soon after the War of 1812 in the United States.
Awesome.
That's great. That is fantastic. Yeah, I just want to say, as a black guy, I learned to read long before I made it to school. So it's everyone's responsibility to learn to read. It's got nothing to do with school.
There's nothing to, well, in fact, Vince, one of the reasons that they taught them to read is so they could read the scriptures.
Yeah.
You could, yeah, right? Read the scriptures. And what would Roger say? 70% of students, studies have shown 70% of students in the inner city aren't able to read. How can the people be free when they can't read? What's wrong with us?
Did you hear about the college kids who said they should get rid of English and use Ebonics because English is too hard? If you made the college and you can't speak English, you should be digging ditches for a living.
Dumbing down. I'm going to do a thing on Charlotte Israelite, who lives up in Maine. the deliberate dumbing down of America. This has not happened by accident, fellas. Not happened at all.
Fantastic woman.
And fantastic, man. She's taking the whole thing on. Now, I'm going to Jared is going to pull that up. How much time we got? We got time here. Jared, pull up this one on Dennis Prager. There's the book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. It's huge. Jared, pull up the one on Dennis Prager, because this really explains Prager University. I don't know if you guys have been to that website or not. This is 5 minutes on really what fake news is, okay? Fake news is fake news is just an interpretation of the news. That's all it is. This is by Andrew Clavin. This is a great 5 minute clip. Go ahead, Jared.
You've probably heard a lot of people recently screaming and yelling about fake news. Charges fly from all points on the political spectrum. This story is mistaken. It's fake news. That statement is incorrect. It's fake news. But to my mind, these arguments miss the point. Mainstream American news is all fake because the major news outlets are so consistently biased toward the left that whether any given story they report is factual or not, their overall reportage is essentially leftist propaganda. You can complain about the right-wing slant of Fox News all you want, but left-wing ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and CNN have combined almost 10 times the viewers. Look, the chief journalist at ABC is former Clinton operative George Stephanopoulos. The president of CBS News is David Rhodes, the brother of a former senior Obama staffer. Comcast, which owns NBC, is run by a major Democrat donor. Same for the leadership at CBS and Time Warner, which owns CNN. Only 7% of American journalists identify as Republican. And while a lot of news outlets forbid their reporters to donate to candidates, 96% of those who did donate last time out gave to Hillary Clinton. These journalists claim that despite the fact they're all Democrats, they can be objective. It just ain't so. Psychologists have shown that when people associate almost exclusively with those who agree with them, they suffer from groupthink and confirmation bias and lose their ability to see events clearly. Now, it's not that these journalists are liars, exactly. It's that their bias skews their reporting in very specific ways. Let me give you Andrew Clavin's 3 rules of mainstream media journalism. These can transform any story, whether it's true or not, into fake news. Rule number 1. Whenever left-wing prejudices are confirmed by a single event, that event is treated as representative. But whenever left-wing prejudices are contradicted by a single event, that event is treated as an isolated incident. And if you treat it as representative, you are deemed to be hateful. So, for instance, a white cop shoots a black suspect. The mainstream media treats that story as representative of general police racism, even though studies show cops don't use deadly force more often on blacks than on whites. On the other hand, if a Muslim commits an act of terrorism and someone is bold enough to point out that the terrorist act is, in fact, representative of the daily acts of Muslim terror around the world, this is considered Islamophobic. The leftist media cherry-picks when an event illustrates a larger narrative. That's fake news. Rule number 2. When a scandal breaks on the right, the news is the scandal. When a scandal breaks on the left, the news is who wrongfully disclosed that scandalous information. Thus, when the media wanted to raise suspicions that Donald Trump was somehow in league with the Russians, they freely quoted illegally leaked information from intelligence sources. But when Congressman Devin Nunes announced he had information that the Obama administration might have misused intelligence against Donald Trump's transition team, the story became, how did Nunes get that information? And did he do it legally? The scandal meter is heavily weighted to fall to the right. Fake news. Rule number 3. Individual extremists on the right are highlighted, but the overall extremism of the left is ignored. In one of the fakest fake news stories in recent history, the mainstream media rose up as one to tar conservative Tea Party members as racist, when all they really wanted were lower taxes and less government spending. Reporters gave the Tea Party disparaging nicknames, represented their almost universally peaceful gatherings as ugly and violent. And whenever an individual Tea Partier said something wrong, it was cited as evidence that the movement itself was tainted. Meanwhile, the continually violent, vandalizing, anti-Semitic socialist movement that went by the name of Occupy Wall Street was hailed by journalists as an important social development, right up to the moment it vanished without a trace, except for the piles of litter its protesters left behind. Peaceful Tea Partiers wanted the small government prescribed by the Constitution, so they were radicals. Violent occupiers wanted the widespread government intrusion of socialism, so they were heroes. Very fake news. Newsweek editor Evan Thomas was once criticized when his magazine essentially convicted some white Duke University lacrosse players of raping a black woman. A rape, it turns out, they did not commit because it didn't happen. Thomas defended himself, saying, "The narrative was right, but the facts were wrong." The mainstream media almost always get their left-wing narrative right, whether the facts support it or not. That's called confirming your own prejudices. It's called bias. It's called fake news. I'm Andrew Klavan for Prager University. To keep these videos free, please.
So there you go, boys. That's it in a nutshell. That's exactly what's happening to us. That's why I say turn them all off. But they will. We are in the majority. We God-fearing people are still in the majority in America, and the media doesn't want us to think that. And that's why the media machine is being broken up right in front of us. My wife just texted me. Stay here a second, Reese. My wife chastised me. Reese, tell him the presidents of the United States.
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe. Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, and Taylor. Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, and Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, and Hayes. Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley. Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover. Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford. Carter, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton, Bush, two more to say. Barack Obama and Donald Trump, it's for him we pray.
Amen.
That was fantastic.
Very good.
Huh? Ain't no genderless stuff going on in our house. See, you got to guard that mind. See, guard that mind. Program what goes into that little mind. Now, here's what you don't get, folks. We're being programmed. It's not just these little ones. We're being programmed. Hey, Serge, I'm going to count to three, Serge, and then I want you to name the presidents. You ready?
Hey,
a lot longer.
Just kidding, man. Just kidding. That was amazing. Yeah, who's somebody's trying to jump in here. Who is that?
Hey, Coach. Hey, Reese, this is George. That was awesome. I just had my friend Bruce and Adam listen to it. They are so proud of you. That I told Pam, my wife, about it, and that's so impressive. I miss
that was
you.
Fantastic.
Amen, George. Thanks for saying that. Folks, most valuable thing you ever have right there. I don't know how we got it here to my granddaughter performing for everybody, but it just makes a point, doesn't it? Just makes a point. It'll be my hope and my prayer that she'll never step inside a government school in an entire life. That would be my hope. Why would I, if I love this sweet little thing, which I do, why would I ever expose her? They're teaching gender issues. They're teaching non-binary issues. They're doing it as early as kindergarten, right?
Dave, you're wrong. It's not teaching. It's indoctrinate.
Yeah, thanks, Vince. That's right. But Vince, they're indoctrinating us old folks too, aren't they? We're not smart enough to recognize it. See,
no,
Republican
trying.
Good, Democrat bad. Republican good, Democrat bad. Homo good, sexist, bigot bad. Everywhere. Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
They're doing way worse than indoctrinating the kids that are in those government schools. It is official policy from the U.S. federal government that when school nurses establish files on students, one of the mandatory questions that they ask and make a note of in that file is, are there any weapons in your home?
No, Larry, they're just worried about safety. They're just worried about safety, Larry. You got tinfoil hat. Hey, Jared, one more thing here, just because then I can close this chapter up of my life. Go down there and pull up. It says Son of Liberty down at the bottom. Folks, new survey. Jared's pulling this thing up there for us right now. If his computer's working. Let me see here. You see it there, Jared? There we go. New survey finds that evangelical Christians' support for homosexual marriage has more than doubled.
Yeah, okay. What?
June 28, 2017. According to the survey, 62% of all Americans are now in favor of allowing sodomites and lesbians to get married, while only 32% are opposed. Hey, boys, this is the church. These numbers have almost flipped completely upside down from where they were a decade ago. In 2007, 54% of all Americans were against homosexual marriage. That's all Americans, not Christians. And only 37% were in favor of it. To say that our culture has been transformed over the past 10 years would be a major understatement. Hey, boys, looks like the world is the salt of the church, huh? The world is the salt of the church. Indoctrination, exactly what we just saw here is amazing. You know, I was watching Reese's eyes as she was listening to that Prager thing, and she was taking it in. You know why? Because she knows how to think. She's not programmed. She knows how to think. Oh, I could go on and on this one. We dump Reese in first grade. We put her in the first grade. You know what they'd find out right away? She's reading on about a fourth grade level. You know what the teacher would immediately do? Teacher would take her and put her with some other kid who can't read and let Reese teach the other kid how to read. That's how it works. They wouldn't do whatever they could to make Reese smart. They want to keep Reese down and say, wow, what's good government service. She's helping these others. Isn't she sweet? Look at her. She's helping so and Sarah learn how to read. No, 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 no. No, you're putting a roadblock on her and trying to hold her down. Then you're filling her mind with this other garbage. I'll get off my horse. I'll get out. Tomorrow, JR's show, he's having Judge Roy Moore on. That Judge Roy Moore, who's currently leading. This guy's amazing. Judge Roy Moore is amazing. He got elected Chief Justice. They threw him out. 10 years later, he gets elected Chief Justice again. They throw him out. Who's they? Well, we know who they are, don't we? And now he's running for Senate. And guess what? They're going to elect him to the Senate, despite the fact that the Republicans have their own hand-picked candidate and are pouring all kinds of money into this hand-picked rhino. Judge Roy Moore is going to be elected for the third time, and each time they elect him, he goes to a higher office. He's a true American hero. Now, JR, that's what time will that be on tomorrow, JR?
10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. And you go to the Natural Family Foundation, three words, naturalfamilyfoundation.org.
Excellent.
And you'll see the radio. Just click on radio, and it'll take you to the show.
And it's archived there. If you can't catch it live tomorrow, it's archived there. It is 4th of July weekend. I understand all that. Hey, folks, listen. You say, Coach, you know, I don't tune in to hear this kind of stuff. Well, you should. You should tune in to hear this kind of stuff because you will now be the smartest person in your church because I can tell you those other adults don't have any idea what's going on. And see, I'm sorry. I got to say it. You're being programmed in the church the same way. Sorry. You're being programmed. You are at the willy-nilly of the guy standing in the pulpit. He determines what you're going to eat. Don't forget, $20 donation, new hats. Love to ship one out to you. When you make the donation, say camo hat or red hat, whatever you want to. Just know that we'd love to get rid of every one of these. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, listen, guys, no show Monday. This is a first. No show Monday because I'm going to be out of town and I'm not sure I'm going to be in front of an internet. So I don't want everybody getting up and try to jump in here with us. So enjoy your weekend. We'll be back live, pumping hot air up out through the airwaves. On Tuesday, all right? Don't forget JR in the morning. Celebrate your family. Celebrate what used to be America. Stand up for truth, justice, and the former American way. God bless you all. We'll see you on Tuesday.
You're going to get America back, Dave.
Amen. We are, brother.